and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting here next to me is, what'd they call us? George and Gracie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sitting next to me is Gracie. And we're here to answer our questions for you. We're here to talk to you about your car and some dilemmas that you may have, or maybe you got an estimate you're not quite sure of. Maybe you're wanting to buy a used car and want to know what kind of advice or what kind of pitfalls other people have, we've seen other people make.
Yes.
Maybe you went into what you thought was going to be a simple $79.95 job and you came out with a $2,000 estimate. We can help you with that. Maybe your insurance company is being mean to you. We can help you with that.
You're just all around helpful, aren't you?
Well, I have an opinion on everything.
You do. That's true.
That's true. I have an opinion. Now, just before you walked in the door, I don't know where you've been, but I suspect you've been in Pine.
Right.
Just before you walked in the door, I had a big glass of that silly water, one with that sweet water I drink.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know. Flavored water.
Flavored water, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tipped the whole glass over 6 minutes before we're going on the air.
Ooh, I bet you were happy.
So anyway, in the bathroom in there is all the towels that you just hung up
that are in the
bathtub.
So I didn't have more laundry. Huh?
I already put the laundry in the dryer for you.
Good deal.
So we're pretty well set. Anyway, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by IMM Auto Service. David has been in business since 1972. I met him then when I needed a Fiat, and he was actually able to find me a Fiat that we could drive and do some testing on. David prioritizes your work. They offer you a strong estimate, meaning that they're almost to the penny. That includes tax. They perform only the work that you authorize, and they'll give you a great warranty. They have ASE Master Techs. And they work on just about anything in your garage, which is something that I cannot say. So they specialize in Swedish, Italian, and Asian vehicles, but they really specialize in Volvo, Saabs, Fiat, and Alfa Romeos. And I must tell you, those are cars that we run away from. Those are cars that are difficult to repair. Anybody could do an oil change and a tire rotation, but when it comes to the fact that every time I start to roll up the window, the rearview mirror spins 180 degrees, you better have somebody that knows what they're doing. So, again, no matter if you've got Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Ford, Chrysler in your garage, as well as a Volvo, Saab, Fiat, or Alfa Romeo, maybe if you live anywhere near the northeast corner of Tempe, IMM Auto Service might be the shop for you. So, have you got anything on your mind right now?
No.
Nothing on your mind? Okay, well, I have something.
Okay.
Now, you know I've talked about the mobile auto repair guys before.
Yes.
Okay. I've said that if they were really as good as they say they would be working for guys like me.
Okay.
And they would be making a whole lot more money than they can possibly make working, doing master cylinders and brake jobs out of the back of their truck. So I know I'm going to eat a little crow on this, but I'm asking folks if anybody knows a mobile mechanic that can handle a boat engine. And specifically, I know a lady with a small houseboat on Bartlett Lake. And she's had trouble with her 115-horse Mercury outboard motor since day one. Now, it's not easy to pull a houseboat out of the water and take it to your local auto repair shop. So I've been unable to find anybody who really, really knows outboard motors. Now, this is outboard motor is a two-stroke. What does that mean?
I don't know. But I don't.
Well, our lawn equipment's two-stroke.
Okay.
Okay, what do I have to do differently on our
mix gas and oil?
That's it. So the two-stroke is ying, 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 ying. That's a two-stroke. So mix and gas and oil. So this is one of those where they have to mix gas and oil. So if you know anybody who does this kind of work as a mobile guy, then please have him call me on the show or have him email me at mark@marksalem.com. You can't imagine how hard it was to get the email address, mark@marksalem. You can also use mark@salemboysauto.com, or you can say mark@thestupidestbarnintown.
That probably won't get to you. But.
No, but you can email me or you can call the office or whatever. But
you'd think they'd have somebody out by the lake that would do that or just go around, you know, how they have some mobile mechanics like in the RV parks or something like that. But
it is true that they do. The problem is let's pretend you and I were in the business of being running the marina there.
Mm-hmm.
If we recommended anybody and the deal went south, who would be the lightning rods of that deal?
Yeah, you and I.
No,
whoever
me? It would be you.
Why? Because I get the blame for everything.
Always. So you can understand where the marina probably doesn't want to get in the middle of that deal.
Right.
For fear something goes south.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if this 115 motor isn't fixed right or a major mistake is made, that motor's worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be an ugly situation. And you run the risk of having a guy who doesn't have any liability insurance, that doesn't have any garage keeper's insurance, you run a risk of having him work on your, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 motor. But, you know, the alternative is I have to haul it out of here, which is thousands and thousands of dollars, or I have a guy come over, and if he fixes it, fine. But a brand new motor is going to be cheaper than hauling this houseboy out of the water.
Yeah.
So she's a nice lady, and she's a friend of ours. So mm-hmm. I thought, you know, we'd do something that
solicit
we don't rarely do.
Business.
Solicit
okay.
business for yeah. somebody.
Right.
602-508-0960 is the phone number here if you have a car question.
How is your first caller, Hal?
Hal, how are you today, Hal? What can we do for you?
Yeah, Mark, your question about somebody who can come out and fix boat motors.
Yes.
For years, I have been dealing with a mechanic. He works out of Mesa. He works out of his vehicle. He will go virtually anywhere to repair boat motors.
Okay.
I can give you his name, and I think I remember the name of his company.
I'm all ears.
Okay. His name is Ken, K-E-N, Howland, H-O-W-L-A-N-D.
Okay.
I believe his company was called Holiday Mobile Marine. But when I had a boat up until 2 years ago, he was the only person I would have work on my outboard, and I never had a single problem with him.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you used him. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, with the internet, we should be able to find him. Right now, I can't do the internet because I want you to picture this. We're using our entire computer system right now to give us the exact time, Greenwich time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're also taping the show.
Right.
So we can't do anything else but just those two tasks. But I'll look him up and Hal, I really appreciate you spending a minute with me because if this guy happens to hit a home run, you and I are going to look like, you know, the great guys we are.
Okay. Listen, Deb, you got time for a car question?
Oh, heck yes.
Okay. 2008 Jeep Grand Cherokee, 4.7 V8, 50,000 miles. The other day, I had the check engine light come on. I have a service contract with the dealership, went in there, and they changed out one of the oxygen sensors. My question to you is, isn't that awfully early for an oxygen sensor to fail?
Yes, the answer is we typically don't see them at 50,000 miles. However, here's the situation. You probably haven't had the car long enough. You need 20, 30 days on it. If the check engine light comes back on, then, and it's the same oxygen code, then what happened here is we missed it. And so at that point, you're going to keep your cool. You're going to take it back to them. You're simply going to say, I got the check engine light back on again. And they're going to check it out. And hopefully they won't say, oh, it's another thing or it's another thing. Because here's why. The oxygen sensor simply reports to the computer what the exhaust looks like. What the exhaust looks like depends on hundreds of other things. For instance, if the PCV valve is bad, the oxygen sensor will see a lean exhaust, and it'll tell the computer it's lean. If the fuel filter's plugged up, lean exhaust. If there's a vacuum leak, lean exhaust. However, if the air filter's plugged up, there's a rich exhaust. So you have to eliminate all the causes on the front side. You have to eliminate all the lean and all the rich because the O2 sensor will tell you what it's seeing. I want you to picture this, Hal. I want you to picture something with 1 to 5 volts. This is going to talk to you. You're the computer. And you know that 1 is lean, 5 is rich, And the sweet spot or the trim is what number, Hal?
2.5
Bingo. Bingo. Gosh, you know
what? I went to engineering school.
Oh, you're an engineer? Oh, no. Did you sneak by? Oh, my God. He snuck.
See, there are some nice ones, Mark.
He snuck by Gil. He snuck by Gil.
I didn't offer that.
No. You've heard too much on the show, haven't you?
Yes,
no.
I listen to you very frequently.
Okay.
I enjoy it a lot.
And you're right. It's 2.5 That's the sweet spot. So... you go in and you're looking at stuck on the lean side. You go in and looking stuck on the rich side. Well, one of the things that you have to do is you make it run leaner. So we're going to pull a huge vacuum line off the booster. Well, the motor's going to suck air and it's going to be really lean. And we expect the O2 sensor to scream one because everything in the car, with one exception, everything in the car low is lean. Remember, L low, L lean. Rich is high. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make a lean condition, and we're going to drop it to one, and then we're going to make a rich condition, which is we take a tank of propane, we open up the valve, we have 4 feet of 3/8 fuel line on it, we stick it in the intake, we crank that valve wide open, boom, goes to 5. Now, we have successfully tested the range of that O2 sensor. We know it'll see lean and it'll say rich. Well, if we have a stuck lean or stuck rich condition, we have to go find that, because that O2 sensor is not dead. That O2 sensor can see the extremes it's supposed to see. So time will tell, and the answer to your question is yes, 50 is a little early. Let me tell you a real quick story. Keep in mind it's 1 through 5, okay? So we get this truck, this Blazer, that they've spent $2,000 and they've replaced everything from the back bumper to the front bumper. Every single computerized everything.
1 minute.
So he sends it to us, and we look at it, and we know, and the car starts, runs for a while, and then it just slowly dies off. So we look at it, and we look at the computer, and here's what's going on. The computer's starting up at 5, and it just stays at 5, which is full rich. The O2 sensor's full rich. So the computer starts shutting the faucet off, and it goes, hey, can I see 4 from you? And it shuts the faucet off. So pretty soon, that 5 stays there, so the computer completely shuts the faucet off. And, of course, the faucet, it delivers gas. It's still screaming 5, rich, 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 and the engine dies. That's what happens. Somebody had hooked in a 12-volt wire to this circuit. So the computer, the O2 sensor was telling the computer 12 volts, not 5 volts, and the computer couldn't deal with that, so it just kept turning off the faucet, then we're running real lean. Rather than chase the wire from the O2 sensor back to the PCM, we just ran a new one, and the problem was solved. In reality, I used the number 1 through 5 on the O2 sensor. In reality, you'll understand this, it's 0.1 volt to 0.5 volts. So it's 0.1 to 0.5, but for the sake of obvious simplicity, I use 1 to 5. So,
good luck to you on that boat engine.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you, Hal. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. George Salem and Gracie Salem here at your service. What do you keep? Stop making those signs with your fingers, because those people might be able to see that.
Yeah.
So we'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. Mark and Renee Salem right here at your service. This is a car show. It's called Under the Hood with Mark. We added Renee just because she has nothing else to do on a Saturday morning to bug me.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not true?
Yeah, no, that's not true.
Well,
I have plenty to do. So
I beg to differ with you, but that's okay. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have two callers, and I'm going to be there in about 20 seconds. Larry Harker's Auto is at 38th Avenue and Indian School. He's a good guy. He's probably one of the best diagnosticians that I know of. Ellen handles the front counter. Bob handles the back of the shop. And they are very, very good at diagnosis, but they also do all kinds of other repairs, auto electrical work, brake services, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, and they can figure out what's wrong with your car and fix it. And they do it in stages. So you're going to okay the diagnostic stuff, and then you're going to maybe some additional testing, and then they're going to give you an estimate, and they're going to look you in the eye and say, this is going to fix your problem. So if you're anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School and you don't have a repair shop, I'd like to recommend, I'm proud to recommend, Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Mike, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yes, thank you for having me on.
You bet.
My wife and I, we're going to be getting her a car. We're thinking about buying probably a 2016, somewhere around in there, and we're just wanting to know the best car. She would like to get kind of a small SUV, something so that she's not down on the ground anyway, maybe a crossover. We were looking at a Ford Escape possibly and maybe a Hyundai Tucson, but we were just wanting to get your opinion on what would be the best.
Okay. You know, first of all, it's a bad idea for you and I to discuss the car for your wife. You recognize that. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, it's no matter what you and I decide, it's still her new car. So I'm going to pass it to you.
That's true.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
no,
I'm passing it to you.
You always do this for me, but, you know, I like my Edge. I don't know. And we did look at the Tucson, I think, and I don't remember what
else. And we did look
else.
At the Escape.
Yeah, the Escape. And I don't know. It's been a great car, and it has a lot of room, and I really do like it.
Has lots of power.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something. I've never recommended a Ford in my life. I want to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a part of this purchase either.
Mm-hmm.
She just went out and decided she wants a Ford. There hasn't been a Ford in my family in 100 years. So she buys this Edge, and I have grown to like it. I like the V6. Now, they give it a 4-cylinder turbo and a V6. And I can't imagine that you need more power than that V6 will give you, right, Renee?
Yeah, I agree. And I drove both of them, actually, and I couldn't even tell the difference. So the only reason I picked this one was for the color.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Fair enough. And the last time I looked, you were at 21 miles to gallon, but admittedly, we go up and down the mountain from Tempe to Payson a lot.
Yeah.
21 miles to the gallon, 21.7.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I drive up to Payson, there's some hills, and she says that I'll drop it from 21 to 20 and 19, and so I came up this last time, and I didn't move the needle at all. So I like those. I like the Tucson. I like the Hyundai line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about any of the crossovers. I think they're kind of expensive to repair. I think that the resale value isn't what it needs to be. On any crossover. I don't know that the Edge is a crossover.
I don't know either.
It has folding. Let's talk about it. It has all the amenities you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
It has it has adaptive cruise control. So I was coming up the mountain the other day, and the guy in front of me is running about 70, 71. So I pull in behind him. I set my adaptive cruise control, and I set 3 bars, which means I'm 3 car lengths behind him. It's a little further than that. Now I sit back. I don't touch the throttle, and my car follows his car. And he set his cruise control. So him and I went up the mountain like we were attached, and it was cool.
Yeah.
It has fold-down back seats, so we can put a blanket down for the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 passenger, no problem at all. It has lots of other amenities. It has the remote start. It has the key fob. You don't have to put in the thing. You just walk up to the car. The doors unlock. You get in. You push the dog on button. You drive away. All that fancy crap.
Yeah.
So
I think they all look about the same. I mean,
They're all small four-wheel drive. They're all-wheel drives.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not buy an all-wheel drive unless you're going to go off-road, because then you've just added $2,000 or $3,000 to the price of the car, and you've added a whole bunch of maintenance that you're not going to like. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd rather her narrow it down to 2 or 3 choices or even 4 and talk about those. But you have to remember there's 1,200 models of cars and trucks today, and so it's kind of hard to pick one. But you did give me some. And of the ones you said, we like the Tucson,
mm-hmm.
You didn't say anything about the Ford Edge, but you said the Escape, and I think the Edge is slightly bigger than the Escape.
Yeah, it's right in there. I can't remember
it's
which
close.
One's bigger, but yeah.
Well, Sue and Larry have an Escape.
Right. Yeah, I think mine is a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger. So that's what we decided.
And I think we had a friend that had the EcoBoost in the Edge, and she actually got better gas mileage, but the power was about the same. So that would be the only thing.
But you're right. I drove her car down to Tempe one day to put tires on it, mm-hmm. if you'll remember. And her fuel economy never changed, which means that she hadn't reset it in 100 years. And she drives real slow, and she has no place fast to go. So I would expect her to get better fuel economy than everybody else. But I had the uncanny urge to push that reset button to see what I could get out of it matching hers. But she's sitting there at 26, 28 miles an hour, and I thought, well, if I reset it and return it to her at 18,
yeah.
she's going to be mad at me.
Yeah.
And her husband has a gun. And so... So anyway, all right. Well, Mike, thank you very much, buddy. Thank you. You bet. Richard, you're up next. How can we help you, Richard?
Yes, I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I got a 2009 Santa Fe Hyundai, and the TPMS light came on. It has dual tire pressure.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I had my tires rotated 2 weeks ago, and it came on immediately after that. I went back, and they checked everything, and they checked all the, this guy with two whiskers checked all the tires and said that all the sending units were good. He said it might be a computer problem.
No, no. When we rotate the tires, we have to tell the computer where the red one, the green one, the orange one, and the black one went. So we have to retell the computer. So when we rotate the tires, we're moving them around. I'm using colors because it's easier to understand.
Yeah.
So another thing that you want to do is one of them is out of range. Okay. So you have like a 7 pound range and one of them is getting out of range. So take them, you know, all up five or, first of all, this is something we fix every day of our lives, which is no problem at all. But if you want to do it yourself, take them up 5 pounds every, all four tires on the cold inflation and see what happens. And then go back to where you were and drop 5 pounds. And sooner or later, you're going to figure out where it needs to be to keep the light off. Because they, it's probably not the rotation that caused the light to come on. It's probably because they adjusted your tire pressure. And keep in mind, if you got a window at 7 pounds, then 5 pounds up and 5 pounds down throws you out of spec. So you got to find that window again.
1 minute.
And that's the easy part.
Yeah, I thought, Alan, on some of these, but I don't think it's this old. I think they have to relearn the position of the tire.
They do. It's silly, stupid, because you go into your car and you push this button and it says, where's the red one? And you go, you honk the horn. I'm making fun of the procedure. You honk the horn twice and then it says, where's the green one? You honk the horn 3 times. It's stupid stuff like that. But yes, you're right. Once you do that, you have to tell it, because here's what happened. People will come in and they'll say, it keeps saying the right front, the right front, the right front. And it ain't the right front. It's the right rear, but somebody rotated the tires and didn't tell the computer what what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Richard, this is really theirs to fix because they gave it to you. If you don't trust them, then go get it fixed someplace else. Find somebody, like you said, that has gray hair on his nose and on his back and on his head.
On his nose. Ooh.
In his nose. Okay. Knock it off.
Yes, I have another question.
All right, you hang on because I'm 6 seconds from the end of this segment, but stay right there. You're going to be my first caller on the other end. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. Excuse me. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. And let me do a real spot, and then we're going to go back to Richard. He has another question. And then we got a couple other callers we're going to get you to as fast as we can. Automatic transmission exchange has been in the Phoenix area since 1968. That's a long time to be under the same ownership, under the same shop. They don't do bad work or they wouldn't be there. Phil and his staff are transmission diagnostic experts. Saturdays they're open, and here's why that's important. You can drop by, and if you can duplicate the problem, they'll send someone with you, and together you'll figure out what's causing it. Together, that he'll have a scanner and be able to know what the heck is going on. Now, he cannot always diagnose it by just taking a test drive. There may be some additional testing that needs to be done, but if you show them what you're talking about, then it's much easier for them to hone in on the problem. That's Automatic Transmission Exchange. He's on 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. Hey, Richard, you had another question?
Yes, I just bought a 2016 Kia Sorento, and it has 32,000 miles on it. I went on the owner's manual, and there's nothing about the transmission oil when it needs to be serviced, and I can't even find a dipstick on it.
Well, it's probably going to be a sealed transmission. You're going to service that between 80 and 100. If it has no dipstick, the reason why is that we're going to use the cooler lines to flush it. And so there's going to be a pressure side of the transmission that sends coolant to the transmission cooler up front, and then we have a return line, and we're going to interface those, and we're probably going to take the return line and dump it into this container, and then we're going to feed new fluid into the return line, and we're going to flush the transmission. You don't need to deal with this. It's probably not until you see 80 to 100,000 miles they're going to call for a transmission service. But the days of pulling the oil pan and replacing the filter are gone. And you don't need to – it's sealed. You don't need to check the fluid or worry about it.
Now, these new six-speed transmissions, I've heard from someone that they're not getting more than 100,000 miles on it. You heard anything about that?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I think everything on your car is going to last 100,000 miles, but here's the bad news. The bad news is shortly after that, everything that you just benefited on the front side, 100,000, you're going to have to make up now. Tires, belts, hoses, brakes, transmission service, brake fluid flush, power steering fluid flush, cooling system flush, all that stuff is now due. So you drove it for 80, 90, 100,000 miles, and now it's time to pay the piper. However, you got two choices. You can get rid of it at that point and let somebody else pay for all that maintenance that you, it was okay that you didn't do. Or you can go ahead and do the maintenance, and if you're going to do the maintenance, then you ought to plan on driving it to 200,000 miles. Your six speed's going to, if it depends on this, if you don't haul anything and you don't have a 16-year-old kid driving it and you don't have anybody hot rodding it, that transmission will do 100,000 miles, no problem. I would venture a guess that between 1 and 140, you're going to have to deal with it. So that's just a guess because that's what we're seeing on the newer model cars.
Okay, now, is that transmission rebuilt or rebuildable, or does it need to be a total change-up?
It depends. If it's a brand-new model, it'll be a what we call a complete. If that model has been in a car for 5 years before that and 3 years down the road, you have one fail, there'll be plenty of rebuilds available, including from the dealer. So we'll buy new ones until we flood the market with bad ones, and then the rebuilders get the bad ones, and then we get rebuilds. So that's really how it works. Okay?
2 minutes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You betcha. Pat, you're up next. How can I help you?
Mark, I got a 2003 Lexus IS300. The spark plugs were changed with 120,000 miles.
Okay.
The spark plugs were changed at 60,000 miles. Now I'm getting a few codes for a misfire, and I pulled the spark plugs out, and they are really, the center electrode is gone in a few cases, or looks like the tip of a pin in a few cases.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, is that normal, or do I have some other problem besides a big gap on my spark plugs?
No, you don't have a big gap on your spark plugs. I'd be willing to bet that. But if you have a center electrode called the center electrode, then you have a ground one that goes up and over the top. Are you with
one
me?
Minute.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the one you're talking about has the pin. Is that the center electrode, or is it the top ground electrode?
It's the center electrode.
Okay. Well, that's normal. That's normal. Those are platinum or dual platinum spark plugs. You probably paid a pretty penny for those at 60,000 miles. So if you've got a misfire and the tips of all the spark plugs don't look alike, you're going to have to put some new ones in. That's all there is to it. More than likely, that will fix your misfire. But the fact that you can look and see a difference between one plug and the other suggests that you've worn them out. They could be some cheapies that you bought at an auto parts store that were represented as being the newest, latest thing. We see that every day of our lives, but you're going to have to buy a Denso double platinum. You're going to have to buy some name brand double platinum or Iridian spark plug in order to get the performance that they're calling for. So if you're not getting a double platinum or Iridian spark plug, then what you're buying is a spark plug that lasts 40,000 miles. All righty?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank
you. All right. Thank you.
602-508-0960. Tom, I'm up against a break. I'm going to be back in about 3 minutes, and then I'm going to take you. So, Tom, you stay right there. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark and Renee Salem here at your service. I'm an ASE Master Tech, been working on cars for 37 years. She's been my best buddy and my wife for 43 years. We have a radio show that talks about car repair. We're interested in your problems, helping you out. We have nothing to sell you. I don't have any products to sell you. I'm not the very best mechanic in the whole wide world. I'm not going to tell you that every mechanic is trying to rip you off or any of that kind of crap. I'm just telling you, I know a little bit about cars, and if you have a question, 602-508-0960. Tom, don't go anywhere because you're my next one. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Nadine, who owns Air Park Auto Service in Scottsdale. They're on Rain Tree just east of Hayden, and Rain Tree is about 3 or 4 blocks south of Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard, which is also called Bell Road. But Nadine and Stacy were opening up their shop in 1985, about the same time that Renee and I were opening our shop. Stacy died a while back, and Nadine stayed there. Nadine says it's still a family-owned and operated place. They've been on my best car repair shops for years, and they have a state-of-the-art, clean, and green facility. They have the latest diagnostic tools, and they service most makes and models of vehicles and small trucks. So if you're in Scottsdale, North Scottsdale, I know you'll be happy with Air Park Auto Service, and I'll just tell you right now, there's not another shop in North Scottsdale that's passed the muster necessary to be on our best car repair shops list. So that's Air Park Auto. Tom, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I've got a 2000 Ford Windstar. It's a V6. I think it's a 3.8. And it's got about 167,000 miles on it. As the car is warming up, it has a condition where the engine seems to cut out. It's not a single cylinder miss or anything like that. It's just, you can watch the RPM indicator and you'll see a drop slightly.
So is it a stutter or is it a drop and then you can count to one or two or three and it comes back up?
It comes back up again.
Okay, but is it a stutter, though? Is it a da-da-da-da-da, or is it just a one noise and one needle wave?
It's usually a one needle wave,
okay.
Usually.
Okay, fair enough.
It's predominant as it's warming up, and if it's real hot out, it'll be less prevalent. If it warms up completely and I put a load on it, like turn on the air conditioner, it seems to minimize.
Okay. A lot of that's...
no engine code.
Okay. A lot of what you tell me, I'm not going to focus on because the fact that it does it more hot than cold will be answered once you fix it. So you're not going to take that and run with it, because that's not going to get you anywhere. So that's just part of what we do. At 160,000 miles, I would, if this were my vehicle and I was charged with it, I would say to you this. The first thing I want to do is I want to clean the throttle blades and I want to clean the idle air control motor. And I want to take a look to make sure the idle air control motor is not hanging up. And I want to, I can control it with a scanner, so I'm going to hop in it. I'm going to plug in the scanner and I'm going to say, hey, I want 1,000 RPM. And I want to see that go up to 1,000. Then I say, I want 500. I want 500. I'm going to manipulate the idle air control motor and the throttle blades along with the throttle position sensor, the TPS. I'm also going to clean up the EGR valve because at 160,000 miles, you've been around the world six times. So you probably haven't had the EGR valve cleaned. You probably have, the throttle blades probably haven't ever been cleaned because you didn't have any symptoms, but now you do. And the idle air control motor has been around the world six times. Because it's not a stutter, and because it's kind of a duh, and then it's and then it's a duh, as, and you're seeing the tack needle move, I'm quite certain, I'm 75% certain that cleaning the throttle blades, cleaning the idle air control motor, and looking at the TPC, or the throttle position sensor, the TPS, I'm quite sure that's the area I would go in. Now, you can wait till it gets worse and easier to find, but this is not something that's going to cause you to break down and need a tow truck if it only happens when it's idling, and it only happens probably on a cold start. So that's what I think.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks, Mark.
Good luck to you, Tom. Thank you very much. All right, so you want to know what my wife has done for the last week?
Yes.
Yes. All right, I'm proud to tell you that she and a crazy friend of hers decided that they were going to fly to Nashville, Tennessee, and take my poor daughter. My daughter, who's never really been exposed to alcohol or whistling at boys or anything like that at all. So Renee and Linda fly to Nashville, and this is the plan.
And Andy flew.
And my Andy, flew. My daughter. And this is the plan. They're going to rent a U-Haul or Penske truck. They're going to hang around Nashville because what's going on in Nashville?
Well, they had Country Living Fair was there, and we went and saw. They had a flea market, which we didn't even know about, which was,
oh, my God.
We missed it. And just look at all the shops there and have fun.
Okay. So after a couple of days, you sent Andy back to run the business so you had more money to spend.
Exactly.
And you and Linda just drove around and between Nashville across 40.
Right.
And you stopped in Gallup. You stopped in Amarillo. You stopped all the way through between Tennessee or between Nashville and Amarillo.
Oklahoma. We were there.
And Muskogee.
Yeah, Muskogee.
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
So the two of you drove this truck and you brought it back. And as Jim and I, the husbands, we open up the door. It's 3/4 full of crap we wouldn't have paid a dime for.
Oh, you would have too.
A little tricycle that looks like it's been sitting in a junkyard for 400 years.
Those are popular. People like those.
Okay. And then bed springs.
Yeah.
I mean, bed springs. People like those.
Well,
people pay money for those.
Well, you use them as displays, so you hang stuff on them, too.
So you're going to hang the bedspring on the wall?
Exactly.
And then you hang stuff from the bedspring.
See, you don't know anything about this.
You know,
you
you're
know
right.
a lot about cars, but you don't know anything
you're,
about
you're
this
right.
antique stuff.
Yeah, it's junk.
No, it's antique.
It's junk.
Stop.
No. And Jim, you, the husband of Linda, thinks it's junk, too.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
not the only guy in the world that thinks what you brought home is a bunch of junk.
No.
Likely. You're, what kind of a profit margin are you going to make on this
stuff?
Oh,
we're not even going to talk about that. Anyway, we had fun. We didn't have any trouble with the cars.
You don't like profit margin, huh?
And then...
Are you going to be able to make 10% on this?
Oh, Mark, don't worry about it.
You almost said at least.
Don't worry about it.
How much? 20%? 10 or 20?
It's different things for different items.
Okay.
You can't
so you're not going to admit to anything.
No, we didn't find a lot, I don't think, because... Yeah. A lot of people are into the antique good stuff that
okay.
we are. And so they have it all priced pretty
okay.
good. But.
So you guys have some square footage that you rent from a antique store, a junk store in Pine.
An antique store.
Okay, antique store, fine.
Thank
and
you.
What's the name of that place?
Fancy Finds.
Fancy Finds.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your stuff in there and then they sell it for you.
Right.
Okay, fine,
yep.
fine, fine.
Yep, yep, yep.
Fine. All right, speaking of markups and stuff. Okay, let's switch it back to car repair.
Okay, good.
We are inundated with people that are going on the internet and complaining about parts pricing. We are inundated.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, I did a study the other day, and I took random 20 parts, mm-hmm. and I know what I paid for them, and I know what I sold for them. And then I looked at two or three websites on the internet, and virtually every one of them sold to the general public cheaper than I bought it. Every
yeah,
one of them.
But it doesn't include a warranty.
Okay.
And it doesn't
all right.
include,
all right.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a labor warranty, first of all. Number two, most of us won't install customer carried in parts because that's kind of like you providing the paint and you want a Rolls Royce paint job, but you gave me house paint. So my job is only going to be as good as the parts. Now, another thing is that there's going to be at least 1 to 2 day wait for this part. And, of course, your car can't be hung up on one of our racks for 2 days while we wait for a rack and pinion because we can't drop your car down and roll it outside because we've got the steering disassembled. So it's not going to be something that we're going to be favorable to you bringing your own parts. We've allowed our customers to bring one part. You can do that sometime because inevitably they are. And we just tell them, one, don't bring a part that's a $20 part. Bring a part that's $500 part. But just, you can do it one time a year. You can bring your own part. We got a lot of old timers that want to bring their AMSOIL oil.
Yeah.
We let them do that all the time.
Or some of the times if it's an antique car or an older car, it's easier for them to, you know, bring their own car. The other thing, we all get bad parts. So if it's bad, you know, they think that we did something installing it, and so they are mad at us.
There's always that battle.
Right.
It's between the vendor, it's between the customer and the shop,
right.
and they're all pointing fingers at one another. So the problem is that there's some still good quality parts out there, but they have to wait you have to wait 1 or 2 days. Number two, you have no labor warranty, so if the part fails and it took $400 to replace the part, you have to pay that again, so that wipes out any profit that you have.
Right.
Plus, I'm going to order the part and have it in an hour. Your car's going to leave that day.
Yeah.
And if you're tying up my hoist, I'm going to be really mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
So at the whole picture, and people are looking at their invoices, we still put the part number down on our invoices. We're not ashamed of that. They mm-hmm. they query the part number, and then boom, all of a sudden it's, how come you charged me so much money? Well, the answer is I paid a whole bunch more than you're getting it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something else I found out. I found out the reason why they're doing that is because they call a local shop and they say, I don't want a warranty on the part because I'm not given a warranty on the part. Mm-hmm. I want you to just send it, and I want to pay you now with a credit card. So I went to all of our vendors that we spend between $20,000 and $35,000 a month with, and I said to them, how about I give you a credit card and you bill me every day? Will you give me a deeper price than I pass on to the customers? And they all laughed at me and said no. Now, they're my buddies. Mm-hmm. I love them like I do my brothers. But they laughed at me, and I'm not offended by that. But they knew what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, I'll pay you. You know, I think they close our account on the 26th, and we actually pay them on the 27th. Figuring that that's the way it's better.
Yeah.
It's better for them rather than giving us 30-day dating, so saying, okay, pay it in the next 30 days.
Yeah.
So we're running into those kinds of problems, and that's our point of view. Let's go to Ralph. Ralph, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hey, thank you. I'm trying to help my wife keep her car that she's in love with. She's got a 2010 Lexus that has a backup camera, but it doesn't have a backup sensor. And I know they're aftermarket sensors. Is there anything I should be looking for in that? We did go to one shop, and he said that the Lexus electronics is really complicated, but they could do it. Do you have any information on that?
Well, you say it's got a camera, but it's mm-hmm. not hooked up. That's what you're saying.
No, it's hooked up. It's hooked up, but she doesn't have the what I call the beep beep. You know, sensors.
Okay,
And those are really more valuable for her and for me than the camera.
Okay. I don't know any
I know there's
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't know of any aftermarket that has what they call rangers. Otherwise, it's telling you what your range is. And it's going to give you either a color on the screen from green to yellow to red, or it's going to give you some kind of a graph on the screen that's going to say you're a foot apart, you're 2 feet apart, you're 3 feet away from where you're at.
Or just a beep. Or just a beep. I'm good with a beep.
Right. Yeah, and you're right. They have, like, and I think on your car, as it goes beep, 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 and then the closer you get, it goes beep, 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 beep,
yes,
beep,
it
beep.
Gets faster.
Right. Yeah. Right. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. You're going to have to – now, they do – see, the problem is even an aftermarket, if we take one of his license plates, bolts and nuts out and put a camera there, uh-huh. and then how are we going to interface the camera with the TV screen that he already has?
That already is working.
And then how are we going to get audio?
I don't need it to interface with the TV screen. I just want to hear a beep.
Okay. Well, if it's just the audio part, then we still have to wire the beeper somewhere inside the car to give you that. There's going to be more than just the camera. There's going to be a camera and then a module and then an audio and then a power and ground. So
now mine comes across
the radio. You blacked out there. You blacked out there for a minute, so I didn't hear what you said over
the last 10 seconds. You're going to need a camera. You're going to need a module to control the camera. You're going to need an audio device, and then you're going to need power and ground to make it all happen. So, you know, maybe, you know what? Maybe it's time you just broke down and bought her a new car.
She's looking to buy you a new car.
Oh, she might like that.
She's looking for the new, they don't make her model anymore, and there aren't any that have the sensors on it.
Yeah.
They just have the cameras.
All righty. I got to run, but thank you for making my day. 602-508-0960. We're going to come back for the next hour, and if you want to get on the phone, they're wide open right now. Mark Salem and Ray, we'll be back.
And settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960. If you want to join the conversation about car repair problems, we had a pretty good hour last hour. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 callers. And that's fun for us. The more callers, the merrier. 602-508-0960. Ralph was our last caller, and we were talking about a backup camera and some kind of audio warning. and on his wife's 10 Lexus, and we suggested that he just buy her a new Lexus, and he laughed about that rather than, you know, saying, using bad words. So, and we could actually hear his wife in the background. So yeah. She was voting for that. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto. He's at I-17 in Bell. He's just east and on the north side of the road. He was a finalist as one of the Better Business Bureau Ethic Award winners not too long ago. He opened his doors in 1987, and he works on domestic and import, both gas and diesel. He has ASE-certified technicians, but Jeff and Eric, Jeff being the service manager and Eric being the shop foreman and the lead technician, both of them are ASE master technicians. So they're good. They're really, really good. Those two guys can fix just about anything. So if you're anywhere near I-17 and Bell and you don't have a garage, I would suggest that you stop by and talk to Jeff or Eric at Kurtz. Kurt is there.
Sonia is your first caller,
but,
Sonia.
But he's usually misbehaving, so he's in trouble room. Sonia, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a 2011 Ford F-150 with 88,000 miles on it, and it does something kind of strange. So I'll sometimes, like, especially if I'm parked, like, kind of on a slight incline heading downward, and have it in park, and then put it into drive, like the rear end kicks really hard.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I can fix that.
What is that?
You said it all. It's an incline, and here's what I want you to try. Okay. So you're going to park it, and I don't want you to put it in park yet. I want you to stop with your brake, and I want you to apply your parking brake. Then I want you to let go of your brake pedal, and the truck will now settle. Okay? So then you put it in park.
Okay.
When you come back, none of that will happen anymore. Because what you're doing is...
Really?
What you're doing is because you're on an incline, the drivetrain is bound up. So what I'm saying to you is when you stop, hold your foot on the brake pedal with your other foot, clam on the parking brake. Then let your right foot off of the brake pedal. The truck will settle, and no longer is the drivetrain under stress. So you put it into park, and when you come back, you put your foot on the brake, you start it up, and when you put it into drive or reverse, it's going to be smooth, and there won't be that big bang anymore.
Okay. So sometimes it does it even when I'm just on a flat. Is that same thing though still?
Well, yes, but is it possible that the idle might be a little high on it? Do you notice that the idle is higher than 600?
It doesn't. I don't think so.
Okay.
600 RPM.
Yeah, in drive, 700 RPMs in drive?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, at 88,000 miles, do you have any kind of vibration at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour? Do you have any vibrations? The seat of your pants is shaking, the seat is shaking, the dashboard's shaking, the steering wheel's shaking. Do you have any of that?
You know, maybe a slight amount, but it doesn't seem too prevalent.
Okay. Well, maybe next time you have an oil change, have them check the U-joints on your drive shaft. Usually when the U-joints go out, the vibration starts at about 35 or 40 miles an hour, and then it gets bigger and badder and worse the faster you go.
Okay.
And so that's a pretty easy symptom to describe. All righty?
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. I'll try that, and then if not, it's probably the U-joints then.
Well, that would be the next place you would look at. But even more important than this, I would say to you, take it to the shop after you've figured out how to make it happen every time. So if you have to park with the nose down or the nose up or on flat ground or maybe to the right or to the left, then you say, not on a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon for obvious reasons, but you ask the shop, can I take one of your techs? And just around the corner, I can make this happen every time. We're going to go behind bashes and we're going to put the nose of the truck on the ramp out back and where they back the trucks in. So I just want to show him what I'm talking about, because that's a reasonable request. And I'll tell you something, you'll save yourself a heck of a lot of money if that happens, because you're showing him specifically what you want him to focus on. And so many times what the customer says and where we start is about $30 a part, may I say. Okay?
Yeah, I get you.
Okay.
Okay, all right, well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. All righty, so you were looking through your book. Your junk book. All right. So just pick something up.
I'm not even talking to you if you're calling it junk. It's not junk.
Okay. Your antique book. You're looking through your antique book. What did you sell? You went to the antique store this morning. So what did you sell? Tell me.
Oh, I know. There's a really pretty wooden goose that was for sale. And
so how much did that sell?
$59.
$59. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and like metal drawers and wooden anything and rope anything. And,
yeah.
And they like old barnwood stuff and sold a barnwood
frame?
Yeah, kind of. It was a more of a shelf unit is what I'm trying to say. So stuff like that.
How much did that sell for?
I think that was $42.
Okay. So do you have stuff that sells for $8 and $10?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now,
we had a bunch of salt licks for the horses.
Right.
And it was a square, about 8x8 square, kind of a bucket-looking thing, but square. And it had two hooks that hangs on the fence. And we put salt licks in for the horses.
Right.
We had a bunch of those. You put plants in them.
Uh-huh.
How much did those sell for?
I think those were $20.
Okay.
And actually, I think, you know, we didn't... You probably paid $15 for them. But,
no,
but
I built most of those, and you're right. The labor and the metal to bend it and weld it and all that kind of stuff was far more than $20.
Yeah.
But we had a whole bunch of sitting around that have been sitting around for 6, 7, 8 years. So you putting a plant in them is perfect.
Yeah, it looked really good. And people like rusty and old. And old ladders are big now because they can put plants on them. And, potted plants.
You know, I don't know any of my friends that do that, honey.
No,
I don't know.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, none of my buddies go shopping for ladders to hang stuff on. It must be just some kind
of their loss, yeah.
Yeah. It must be just, it's the difference between boys and girls, men and women.
So. Yes, I mean, guess so.
Do you guys like ever put old shotguns in your antique stuff?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
No, I don't think we can sell guns.
How about elk heads or deer heads or frogs that have been stuffed?
No, this
isn't going to fly.
No. Nope.
602-508-0960. We're having a car show here, but we're just talking about Renee's.
Well, and I had to call
antiques.
You this weekend or this week because I got to the gas pump and there was an E15 and I didn't know what the heck that was. I've never seen an E15 gas, but you were telling me that it just had more ethanol in it or something.
It has more alcohol. And if your car is built for E15, you can use it. But if your car is not built for E15, you should not use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's more alcohol in it, it creates more oxygen. And the oxygen sensors are fooled by the amount of oxygen that's coming out of the tailpipe.
Mm-hmm.
So we are enhancing the fuel with alcohol. Alcohol burns better and cleaner than gasoline. So by putting 15% alcohol, which is like putting a bottle of Jim Beam in your car, but you don't do that. Okay.
Right.
So you put alcohol in the gasoline, so we run lean. So the O2 sensor is going lean, 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 and the computer opens the faucet more because it wants to see little rich, little rich, little rich. So I told you, don't put that in your Penske truck.
Right.
And then they had an E10.
Right.
And
but
so,
that was just, it said, that was just the normal unleaded, I think, that had E10 or whatever.
So you were
10%
alcohol. Yeah, you were in the Midwest then. You were Amarillo, Nashville,
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
I can't remember where I first saw it. But.
And by the way, the E15 and the E10 is also made with corn. And so when you ferment corn, you end up with alcohol. So the whole idea of is this, if we put a little bit more oxygen-making stuff, alcohol, in your gas, then the tailpipe's cleaner.
Yeah.
Today, you've heard me say this 100 times. Today, if you lock yourself in a car that's 3 or 4 years old, and you lock yourself in the garage because you want to kill yourself, you're going to die of starvation before you die of asphyxiation. Did I pronounce that right? Asphyxiation?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Gil, how do you pronounce
asphyxiation?
Asphyxiation. I got it. So anyway, you're going to die of starvation. So you're going to be in there for a week because the cars run so clean.
Now, literally,
I don't mean this literally, but you could wrap your lips around the tailpipe and breathe the air that's coming out of them.
Good. I'm glad you don't mean it literally.
Speaking of new cars.
Yes.
Speaking of new cars, we talked to somebody in the first hour who wanted to buy, and it was Mike. He was looking at a Hyundai Santa Fe and an Escape, new one for his wife.
Uh-huh.
I want to tell new car buyers this. Our daughter, Andy, we were looking for a van for our customer service. We take people home. And the last couple of vans we've had have been an Astro van, which is more of a commercial van. It's a heavier van. It doesn't have a nice ride, and it doesn't have a nice seats. But we ran both of those to 200,000 miles. So I charged Andy and Luis, our shuttle bus driver, to go find a Honda, a Dodge, a Chrysler, a Ford, a Chevy, a Toyota. I said, go to every place and pick out a van. So, and I said to Andy, if you can buy it, write a check for the sticker amount. The sticker. So they have to discount the car, the sticker amount, then you did good. And she actually bought it for 4 or 5 points off the sticker. But she had to negotiate with them. Mm-hmm. And part of what she found, and I know this to be true, is you buy the car, and then after the car, you get the desert protection package, and then you get dock fee, and then you get license plates, which is the valid charge,
right,
and sales tax is the valid charge. And then you might have pre-prep, and then you might have post-prep, and then you might have doc fee and paperwork fee, and then booger fee, and this fee, and that fee, and they do all, and then, and then sometimes they add freight, which is already in the price of the car, so they're adding freight twice. All of that is negotiable. I was so proud of Andy, our daughter. She came home with the car, sales tax, and license plate. I think she let them charge them $50 for a doc fee. Now, they have people that do the documents. If they're charging $50 to do the documents, it would be fair to say that one person could do three documents, the sale of a car, in an hour. And that's assuming that they only have half of a brain.
I don't know. There is so much paperwork.
It's all
now,
computerized.
But, yeah, that's true.
All you do
that's
is put true. In their name, address, and phone number, and the VIN of the car, and boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the idea is that's all negotiable. Mm-hmm. But I still stand behind my original thought. It's true. If you can buy it out the door for what it says on the bottom of the sticker. However, here's the new play. The new play is they're reprinting the sticker and changing the numbers.
What?
Yeah. So, and I know that they can do that. So they'll reprint it. So the car has a $40,000 price tag on the list price, the sticker price on
right.
the windshield, and they'll reprint it for $44 or $45.
Oh my gosh.
So that doesn't happen a lot, but they have the capability. So you have to be careful. And that's why shopping is so important.
Right.
Shopping. So Andy and Luis, we ended up buying a Grand Caravan.
Yes.
I think that's the first, other than my pickup truck, that's the first Dodge we've ever owned in our family. But that thing has sliding doors on both sides. It has the most amazing seats. The interior looks like a limousine. Mm-hmm. It has buckets in the front. It has buckets in the middle, and it has buckets in the back.
I think it's a bench in the back.
It has front and rear air, and it looks like a spaceship when you get inside of it. It is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 14,000 miles on it, and it's probably 6 months old, 7 months old, plus we had it wrapped.
Right.
So it is a really nice van, and I think this one's going to do 200,000 miles with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's lower to the ground for our older customers.
Yeah, that makes it nice.
And the seats are more comfortable, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We can take 5 at one time. One in the front seat,
yeah.
2 in the middle, that's 3, and 2 in the bench seat, that's 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I'm not putting 3 butts in the bench seat because I don't think we're going to fit them.
Oh, okay.
All right. Besides that, you can take them home if the bus is full.
Okay.
All right, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The good news, we're going to take a break. The good news is Mark has to go to the bathroom. We'll be back right after this. Mechanic. 21 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. We got four lines available, 602-508-0960, 508-0960, 508-0960, because we're on 960, the Patriot, 508-0960. You think I said enough?
Yeah, I think good.
I've got it. You never know. You never know.
You connected those dots really good.
You know, your radio gig is just about over
that. Yeah. Don't tempt me.
All right. This portion of Underhood is brought to you by S&S Tire and Auto Service. They opened in 1976, and they have three locations to serve you: Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. At S&S, they offer the most comprehensive line of tires and many different brands. So if you take your car in there, they can give you good, better, and best. They can say, this is the good tire, times 4, mounting and balancing, all the FET and sales tax is this much. Then they say, this is the better tire. So, and then here's the best tire. Very few places can give you that many options. But they also have any other kind of tire you want for your farm equipment, your golf equipment, your lawn equipment, your ATVs, your commercial tires, construction tires. They have all that. So this is like the price club of tires. So S&S Tire, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. And they're good guys. I know them personally, and I know they're going to take care of you. So S&S Tire. Let's go to the phones because we have a caller. John, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I have a 2008 Chevy Silverado half ton, 5.2 liter V8, and the check engine light had come on, and I took it to the local auto parts store, and they read the code as a small emissions leak. The code number that they quoted me escaped me.
Okay.
And they suggested that I get a try a new gas cap first.
Okay.
So I did that. They reset the code. And about 3 weeks later, it came on again.
Okay.
And it's reading the same error code. I had them reset the code again, and sure enough, 3 weeks later, it comes back on again. Any ideas as to what's happened?
Yeah. You got some three-whiskered kid with a code reader that wouldn't know an evaporative code if it jumped up and bit him on the butt. His job is to sell parts, and he was successful. He sold you a gas cap you didn't need. So all he's going to do is you keep going back, and they're just going to throw parts at it. You got an evaporative leak. We suck the fumes off the gas tank, and we burn them. We have a variety of solenoids and valves. So you see, we can't be sucking fumes off the fuel tank when it's full and when you're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour, and here's why. Because the propensity is that we're going to suck liquid fuel into the system, and we don't want liquid fuel because the gas is sloshing around inside the tank. So we have this evaporative system, and it's a very sophisticated system, and you better have a lot of equipment. So this little three-whiskered kid that was born day before yesterday, and he's got this little cigarette pack code reader, wants everybody to believe that he's going to be able to diagnose your car, and you're lucky he didn't sell you $500 worth of stuff. And can you tell that my panties are wadded up? So
all I got was the gas cap.
I know. And through the grace of God, they didn't sell you anything else. And all the auto parts do it. I mean, it's kind of like this. You bring your wife over to me, and I check her temperature. And her temperature is supposed to be 98 point something. And she has a 100.7. And then I tell you, I think she has mononucleosis. I think she has this, or I think she has that. And let me sell you this leafy plant that you smoke that makes a lot of things better. That's how silly it is to think. And everybody, you have to know that I'm not doing this because I want your business. It has to do with how you're treated and how the perception's created and how much parts they sell over this that are not needed. Folks, I put an air filter in somebody's car. I put the old one in the box, and I put it in a big Ziploc bag. All you got to do is shake the Ziploc bag to see that there's 10 or 20 tablespoons of dirt in there. The customer will come in and say, I don't want the air filter. So I buy it back. I'll clean the old one. I'll put it back in, and I'll say no harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. So I have to take back an air filter that might be an $11 or $20 air filter, but these
people...
People, thank you for that, because that's not the word I was thinking of. These people, they don't have to buy back a single car. One of the places is now starting to recommend shops. Do you know that that costs you?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I would have to pay. And not only that, is I have a prerequisite of parts I have to buy from them. And even though that their brakes are substandard and they're a brand I've never seen or met before, because they're not Wagner, they're not Raybestos, they're not Delco, they're not none of the names I recognize. The whole idea is this parts scenario just makes me mad.
Good. I'm glad this was the second hour and we're almost done.
Yeah.
I don't like it when you get all wound up.
John, I'm not mad at you. I'm really not. I think the answer is, what part of town do you live in, John?
North Scottsdale.
Okay. I take it over to Air Park Auto, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go in, and they're going to look at the code, and the code's going to say that I see a vacuum leak here, or I see this leak here, because it has a self-test to it. So we all have smoke machines, and so we're going to attach the smoke machine to this entire circuit. And then wherever the smoke leaks from is where the problem is. So if this solenoid is stuck half open and half closed or something like that, so we're going to be able to diagnose it using some smoke and some new technology. Then we're going to call you and say, okay, this is how much you spent on the diagnosis. This is what the part is, and this is how much to replace the part, and that's what's going to happen. And then you, John, you're going to say to them, I'm not paying for guessing. So I want your assurance that this is not a guess and this is a fix and that this light's not going to come back on with the same code in 3 weeks like it has the last two times. I want you to know, I want to hear you say, I'm going to fix your car and this code won't come back in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or 6 weeks. That's what you do to an auto repair shop. And if it's like mine and many, many other in town, we're going to stare you in the eye and say, do you want us to write it down? Because we will. So it ain't that hard to fix your car. So, John, thank you for bringing that up. And you're to blame if I fall over from a heart attack during this break, John. You're to blame.
So 602.
508-0960. 602-508-0960. Gil, have we got anybody staged or in the wings for the next break? Or
yeah,
for the
well, 1 minute, then Keith is next.
Keith is next. Okay. Well, I've only got him 1 minute, Keith, so I'm not going to do you justice. So just hang on, because Gil's going to make us take a 2.5 or 3 minute break, and then we're going to get to Keith right afterwards. Anyway, we've got four lines available, 602-508-0960. And if you want to talk to Renee about antiques or junk, she's sitting here right next to me, and she can actually give you an idea of what your antiques are worth. How about that one? You happy about that?
No, I'm not. And you know what?
What?
You don't have to fire me because I quit.
We've worked together all these years.
I know.
You can't just leave
you're
now.
You're pushing the boundary here.
It's just because I'm calling it junk and you call it antiques.
That's
I mean,
right.
There's a lot of guys out there that are laughing. There's a lot of girls out there that are laughing. All right? Don't get all wadded up about something like that.
Look who's getting all wadded up about things.
Well,
don't talk to me about that.
602-508-0960. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. I'm Mark. She's Renee, and she'll be gone after that. Well, welcome back, everybody. 33 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Renee. She's not leaving. She just doesn't know it yet. All righty. 602-508-0960. Let me tell you about Action Auto Repair. They're at I-17 in Deer Valley, the northwest corner. Tom has been there a long time, since 1983, full-service, family-owned auto repair shop. He does lots and lots of cars. He's well-known for quality workmanship. He's well-known as a good customer advocate, a fast turnaround time. He has ASC master certifications on his technicians. That means they're going to diagnose it, they're going to estimate it, they're going to fix it right. So if you live anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't have a shop to go to, then may I suggest that you stop by Action Auto and maybe have an oil change and just see how they treat you, see if you like them. Let's go to Keith. Keith, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Well, I tell you, I want to thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 66 years old, and I've owned a ton of vehicles, and I've never had one do this.
Okay.
It's a 2006 Ford Econoline with a 4.6 liter V8. You can turn the air conditioning on, you accelerate, no wind comes out. You get back to a cruising speed, and wind blows.
I can fix it right now.
Well, that would be great.
Okay. There is a vacuum line that comes off the engine on your Ford Econoline. And it's probably going to go to a grapefruit size pod that's round. And that's called the storage pod. And then from there, you're going to have a vacuum line that goes underneath the dash to the mode switch at the back of your air conditioning controls. Now, what's going on here is that the pod is supposed to store vacuum, because when you're decelerating, your engine creates a lot of vacuum. But when you're accelerating, the vacuum goes away. So when you're cruising down the highway, your engine's making 18 inches of vacuum, 16 to 18 inches, and then when you throttle up, it goes to zero, and when you back off, it goes even higher than the 18. So the idea is you're losing vacuum to those controls. And like you said, you throttle up and the air goes away. You back off and the air comes back. And what you're talking about is the air goes away. It's probably going to come up to the vents by the windshield. You just don't know that. And that's the default position for your air conditioning controls is the vents on top of the windshield. So we call those the top vents, windshield vents. Then the center vents is what blows air conditioning on you. And then we have the bottom heater vents that blows air on your feet. So that's an easy fix for a gray-haired guy. And most of the time, the vacuum line between the motor and the pod has broken because Ford, in his infinite wisdom, uses a plastic, little cheap little plastic line to run all these circuits. So I fixed one the other day. A guy came over to my house to fix my microwave. And so we were talking about our crafts. Oh, you're a car repair guy. Let me show you my Dodge. So we walked out there. He told me the story. We lifted the hood, and the red line was broken. So I went into the barn, and I got a short piece of 2 inches of windshield washer line. I wet both ends of those lines, and I stuck it in that rubber line to patch the two plastic lines. So he got in his truck, and he drove it, and he comes back. His face was just a happy son of a gun, and he says, "It fixed it." I said, "Of course it fixed it. You had the car guy working on your car." So let me ask you a question. Where do you live?
South Peoria.
South Peoria.
Thunderbird, maybe?
You can go to Thunderbird. Or one of the old-time guys that can just narrow that down quickly is Billy at 25th Street Auto.
Mm-hmm.
Billy at 25th Street Auto would nail that in a heartbeat. And it could be, though, the vacuum line behind the dash is bad. That's a little bit more expensive than the pod being disconnected or a vacuum line between the motor and the pod or between the pod and the dashboard. There's a little bit of difference there. But that's what it is. It's not a big deal. I would be very surprised if the worst-case scenario, if this was more than $100 to $125, and I think you're going to get out of there for less than $50. So that's what I'm guessing. All righty?
Even for the testing and all that stuff?
Testing, the thing of it is, he's looking for a gray-haired guy.
Okay.
Once he gives him the symptoms, any gray-haired guy knows that we're dealing with a vacuum supply problem to the dashboard.
Okay.
But if you get the three-whiskered kid, he's going to say that you need a complete air conditioning system.
Okay.
So
whatever you think.
Just look at my
Thunderbird Auto is where?
They're on 88th and Thunderbird, 88th Avenue in Thunderbird.
Okay.
And if you go there, you're going to talk to Tom or Gary.
Okay.
And you're going to pull up and you're going to say, "I know I shouldn't be here because Mark Salem says that you guys don't know from one end of the car to the other, but I thought because you're close
to me,
I'd give you a chance to fix this." They're going to laugh, I promise you. I promise you. But it opens the door, okay? They can handle this. Thank you very much. Daniel, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hi there. I've got a 91 Grand Marquis, and when I put it in park, the engine shuts off.
Ooh.
Oh.
Wow.
Ooh, are you stumped, Mr. Car Guy?
I am.
Cool.
I absolutely am. The only difference, I'm going to think out loud here, the only difference that's going on is when you put it in park, the park neutral switch knows that it's in park. So by putting it in the park, the engine should not die because it should still have spark and fuel. And the park doesn't do anything other than control some of the idle because when you go in to drive... then the idle should be 600. When you go into park, it's going to go up to 800, and the computer is going to bring it down to 600. So the only thing I can think of is that the idle circuit is defective, and so when he puts it into drive, automatically we kick the idle up higher, and when he goes back to park, when the computer should be dropping the idle back to 600, because the idle is going to go higher yet. So when you're in drive, it's 600. And then when you're in park, it still wants to be 600, but there's a 200 RPM range in between them because of the load of the engine and the load of the car. So I'm going to say that I don't think that's a tough one, but you stumped me. I don't know what it is. I've never been faced with that at all, but I think it's in the idle circuit, which is the idle on the throttle body or fuel injection system that you have, the TPS, throttle position sensor, the idle air control motor, something like that. Now, the last thing I want you to try is I want you to try this. I want you to pull the negative cable off of it and let it sit for a couple hours. Then I want you to put the negative cable back on and drive it and see if anything changes. this could be one of those weird things where the computer had its memory scrambled, and it thinks that Park has shut the engine off. And what we're going to do is reboot the computer. That's what we're doing. No harm, no foul. Let's reboot the computer. Now, here's my offer to you. When you get this fixed, if you'll send me a copy or give me a copy of the repair that absolutely fixed it, you've driven it for 2 weeks and you know it's fixed, I'll give you a free oil change because I'd like to learn from this.
All right.
All right, I'll give you a free oil change, providing you're not going to bring me a motorhome that holds 40 quarts, okay? I mean, 5 quarts of oil and all that kind of stuff. But I'm in Tempe, but I'd sure like to find out what that is because you've stumped me, and Gil, anybody that ever calls back with the name of Daniel, tell him we don't have enough time to take him, and so that I don't get embarrassed again. Anyway, 602-508-0960, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem, Renee Salem, sitting here at your service, 602-508-0960. This portion of the Under the Hood show is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Since 1970, Thompson's, which is in their second or third generation, has been providing expert auto and light truck repair and maintenance to its customers throughout the entire city of Mesa, north, south, east, and west. Thompson's got everybody covered. They're ASC-certified technicians. They're going to provide you with the highest level of service. That means all the processes that involve service. And they're going to follow up with friendly reminders that let you know that you may be due for something. It's not that you are, but you may. And that way you can decide what you want to do at the appropriate time. So it's never been easier or more convenient to keep your vehicle in tip-top shape than if you use Thompson's Auto Repair. They're located on Main, just east of Stapley, the south side of the road. Main, Stapley, east, south side of the road. Thompson's Auto Repair. Brian and Thelma own Thompson's Auto Repair. They are good people, and you'll know that the first time you meet them. Let's go to Dick. Dick, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm better than the average bear.
Well, that's good. You know what? I love your show. I turn it on Saturday morning. You guys are better than cartoons. You really are.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, I got a 1994 F-250 pickup with a big 460 engine in it. And one of the things I've got is this thing, it runs. I mean, the RPMs on it is real high. And it sucks gas like it's going out of style. But one of the things, I'm constantly riding the brake trying to, you know, because I can let off the gas totally. Don't even touch it. It'll run 30, 35 miles an hour all the time.
Okay. That's going to be kind
and
of an
then
easy
also,
one.
It sound, well, and also, it sounds, I got this weird sound. If I didn't know right, it sounds like a vacuum leak. You know?
Well, that's it.
For hoses.
No. That's it. If you're hearing a sucking noise,
yeah,
real loud, then you have a vacuum leak. You see, how we adjust the idle on a fuel-injected motor is we open or close the air delivery system. We don't open and close the fuel. The fuel's there. If we want it to idle faster, okay, then we open up the idle air control motor, idle air control. That's what it's called, IAC, idle air control. So you have a vacuum leak. So, I mean, what part of town do you live in?
20th Street in Camelback, sir.
Oh, just go to 25th Street Auto. Talk to Billy. He'll open up your hood. He'll point to the vacuum leak. 25th Street Auto.
Auto.
Yep,
okay.
He's an old gray-haired.
His name is Billy.
Billy, he's an old gray-haired guy. He knows what he's doing, and you just.
Well, I am too. So
yeah, and
we'll get along fine.
He's going to open the hood, point out the vacuum leak, and he'll fix it for you right there. All righty.
Oh, Mark, I tell you what. If I ever run into you guys again, you know, hey, in the old days, I used to run the old police academy here. I understand you guys were police officers.
I was in the academy in 1974, and I was in class 116.
I'll be darned. I ran the old lead academy for DPS back in the middle 70s.
Okay.
The 60s and 70s, you know. Yeah. I got to stop in and say hi to you guys.
That'd be fine.
Anyway.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go see this Mr. Billy. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You betcha. And Joel, you're up next. How can I help you, Joel?
Yes, something might be good for you listeners that happened to me. A couple of years ago, my check engine light went on and it wouldn't go off. So I go to the auto parts store. The three whisker guy checked me, and he said I needed a $100 hose, special hose. I said, okay. I let it go, and I went another couple of days, and the check engine light went off. Now, the thing I used to do with my car is I always used to fill it over. Click, keep filling. Click, keep filling. Click, keep filling. I let the gas run down in the gas tank, and to this day, my check engine light has never gone on again. So I think that my check engine light came on because I was overfilling the gas tank. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, no, there's no question about it. I'm 100% sure you're right, and here's why. The top of the tank has a slight bubble on it. We want that to be vapor. So we want to suck from the top of the tank and burn that vapor again in the engine. We don't want the vapor to escape the tank. Well, when you click, 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 like my wife does, then you fill that bubble full of liquid fuel, and the next time the system goes into evap mode, it sucks the liquid fuel into the engine, which causes usually a serious problem that's going to create all kinds of engine codes that include rich condition and vacuum leak and an evaporative problem and all that kind of stuff. So you're absolutely right. By click, click, clicking.
So people out there should know, don't click, click, click. Just to get that extra gas in of a gallon or so.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. When you're filling up your tank after the first click, it's okay to round it off to the next 25 cents, the next 10 cents, the next 50 cents. That's it. But if after it clicks, you add another $5 or $6, you're just causing yourself a lot of money.
It wouldn't go that far, would it?
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, my diesel does. My diesel does.
There you go, exaggerating.
I don't have a vapor system on the diesel. There's nothing. There's no vapor on a diesel. Next time, I'll tell you what. Next time I'm filling up the diesel, it holds 55 gallons. You need to know that.
I want to watch it. Okay. It won't be $5 or $6.
Okay. And it could be if the gas prices go up to $3.50 a gallon, it could be $5 or $6. You know what? You're making me mad.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much, Joel. Let's go to Tim. Tim, you're up next. How can I help you today?
Yes, hi, Mark. I am at the emissions place right now as we speak. I went through, and my 03 Impala did not pass for the second time. And I can give you the codes if you want that.
I can't fix them with the codes. Go ahead.
They're showing not ready as the catalyst and the evap system. Okay. And I did take it for a drive.
No. I know what's going on here. But you disconnected the battery.
I don't know if I drove it enough.
You disconnected the battery, or somebody told you to disconnect the battery, and that's puts everything, that reboots the computer. However, the computer is smarter than the rest of us. The computer wants to see a drive cycle or two. So people think, okay, I'm going to disconnect my negative cable, I'm going to go through emissions, the check engine light will be off, and I'm going to pass with flying colors. That don't work no more. The drive cycle is going to take you 2 weeks after you fix the problem. So you can't even go through emissions the day after we fix the problem, because the drive cycle is this. I want to see 35 to 40 miles an hour for 17 and a half, and now I'm slightly exaggerating this.
Okay.
I want to see 13 to 17 miles an hour for exactly 7 minutes. I want to see the car stop and idle for 3 minutes. I want to see a heat cycle 2 times, otherwise from cold to hot. I want to see a cool down cycle 2 times, from warm to hot, cold. I want to see this car on the freeway speeds for 22 minutes at a speed between 65 and 75 miles an hour. I want to see this car stop in drive 17 times. That's called a drive cycle. And I'm exaggerating every part of that. But you're never going to get that done in a day or two. That's going to take 10 days to 2 weeks for that all to happen. And you have to drive the car every day. So now if you want to pay us to do the drive cycle, then I'll send 2 people in your car. One reads and one drives. They're going to be gone for at least 3 hours at $125 an hour times both of them. So at $125, you're going to have $375 for the driver and $375 for the passenger. And I suggest that driving it around a lot for the next 10 days to 2 weeks is a heck of a lot cheaper than that. So that's
a little bit. We don't
have many people ask for that.
that's not on our menu.
Me out of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact is they're just telling you your car's not ready. If the car was repaired right, then after 2 weeks, you drive in and you say, hey, check my monitors real quick. And he goes, yep, you passed. And you say, fine, we're done. But if they go in and they look, so what they're saying is the catalytic converter hasn't seen enough time and hasn't seen as many rich and lean conditions as we want it to see. Therefore, we're not going to reset the monitor. And if we don't reset the monitor, you're not going to get through Arizona State emissions. That's how it works. So
it is due for the tags in April here, which is, into April's tomorrow, but I guess
I think
I'm all right with that. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Here's the problem is, did you already fail once?
Yeah, today was the second fail, but okay. It has been fixed by a shop.
Okay.
So.
Well, you either need to go back to the shop and ask them to please determine that their repair was correct, even if it's mine, determine that. And second of all, you're going to have to wait 2 weeks and drive the heck out of it.
Right. And I think it was repaired correct. I think I just have the drive thing to go through.
And that's exactly. That could very well be. That could very well
and
be.
They,
you're
they,
saying there's no way I'm going to get that drive cycle done today, though.
Oh,
right?
Heck no. I mean, unless you and your wife sit there, and I tell you what, you and your wife won't even be speaking to one another, because when she's driving and you're talking, or when you're driving and she's talking, there's so many doggone fights inside of that car, because I need 17 minutes at 65 miles an hour. I can't give you 17 minutes because traffic just stopped. Oh, you're an idiot. See, that's what me and Renee do all the time. So,
well, and we'll usually, we'll tell people to go at least 100 miles for sure.
Right.
And then we'll check the monitors again for them if they bring it back in. So that shop that fixed it may do that for you as well.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And she's exactly right. We all have the capability. Well, you don't. We do. And so if we fixed your car, you can take it in two or three times, maybe after 5 days, maybe after 10 days, and say, would you guys check to see if my monitors are reset? If it's not a transmission shop that decided to do emissions testing, and if it's not the three-whiskered kid at the auto parts store, and if it's not the tire shop that's all of a sudden, the brake shop that's all of a sudden to do work from bumper to bumper, chances are that shop is going to knock it out of the park. Chances are he's going to say, you've reset your monitors, and then you head on over to emissions. But I think you have a 30-day grace period.
Well,
anyway.
I think that's what I was going to say. After you've done it a couple times, I think you still have a little bit of time to get it in there. And
but here's the bad news. He used his freebie already.
Right.
So you have to pay $28, is it?
I think it's $24 now. I don't know. It's changed
so much
recently.
But he has to pay again,
recently.
And then he gets another free test.
Right.
So I mean, really and truly, we've seen people bring their cars in where they've done eight tests and paid for four of them.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets out of hand. But anyway, good luck to you, Tim. I'm glad to hear you say that you have confidence in your shop that they fixed it right. I think the only fault I can find, and it's a very small one, is they should have explained to you that you have to drive it for 2 weeks. However, Tim, it's your fault for waiting to the end of the last day of the month.
Gina is your next caller.
If I can tease you about that, thank you for allowing me to do that. Who's the next caller?
Gina.
Gina, good morning to you. How can I help you, Gina?
Okay, quick question. Do I drive it in D or the D overdrive? I'm trying to look at the net. I can't get anything. Everybody says, well, drive for the D. I drive regular traffic driving. No uphills, no freeway. So I'm confused which D do I drive it in.
Okay.
I'm having it for like 20. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm telling you to drive it in the OD mark. You'll get better fuel economy.
Circle?
Yes. Yes. And I'm telling you to drive it there. I'm telling you the computer in your car will pick all the other things for you. It'll pick your gear. It'll pick your RPM. It'll pick your idle speed. It'll pick the shift points for your transmission. And in overdrive, you're served the best. Now, here's where you shift into regular D. You're going up a hill. You're going to Flagstaff. And the engine is shifting a lot. It goes, all right.
I hear that.
When that happens, I want you to shift into regular drive until you get to the top of the hill, and then go back into overdrive. And so overdrive is this. It has, let's pretend overdrive is, it has five
one
gears,
minute.
Okay? Five forward gears. In a simplistic way, overdrive is the fifth gear. So when you go into drive, then you only have one, two, three, four. Most people, and most mechanics that don't know what they're talking about will tell people to go in drive, and that's fourth gear. If you were going to drive around from your house to the liquor store and back every day of your life, it wouldn't make a doggone bit of difference on what you do. If you were in the city all the time, it's not going to make any difference. But if you ever get on the freeway, I want you to be in overdrive. And frankly, I want you to be in overdrive all the time anyway. All right, Gina, I got to go. But if you have anybody has any questions, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. Thank you for being my wingman today.
You're welcome.
You're my wing woman. Gil, thanks for doing a good job doing the radio show. And next Saturday at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, we'll be right back here on 960 The Patriot. I don't know if Renee will be because I'm going to fire her, but I'll be here. Okay.